Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, The Punishment and Reward of Kali, Texts 10 and 11. Yasya rashtre praja sarvas
Yasya rashtre praja sarvas
Rasyante sarvasatubihi
Rasyante sarvasatubihi
Tasya matasya nasyanti
Tasya matasya nasyanti
Kirtirayur bhagavati
Kirtirayur bhagavati
Isharagyam parodhamo
Isharagyam parodhamo
Yata namati nirgraha
Yata namati nirgraha
Ataye nam varishyami
Ataye nam varishyami
Bhuta druhama sattamam
Bhuta druhama sattamam.
We'll do word for word. We're having a short class this morning, so nobody fall asleep. Just a short class. Yasya.
Yasya.
One who's.
One who's.
Rastre.
Rastre.
In the state.
In the state.
Rajaha.
Rajaha.
Living beings.
Living beings.
Sarvaha.
Sarvaha.
One and all.
One and all.
Trasyante.
Trasyante.
Are terrified.
Are terrified.
Sadvi.
Sadvi.
O chaste one.
O chaste one.
Asadubihi.
Asadubihi.
By the miscreants.
By the miscreants.
Tasya.
Tasya.
His.
His
matasya,
matasya
of the illusioned,
of the illusioned.
Nashyanti,
nashyanti
vanishes,
vanishes.
Kirtihi,
kirtihi
fame,
fame.
Ayuhu,
ayuhu
duration of life,
life.
Bhagaha,
bhagaha
fortune,
fortune.
Gatihi
good rebirth.
Eshaha,
eshaha,
these are,
Raghyam,
of the kings, Paraha,
superior,
Dharmaha,
occupation,
he, certainly, Arpanam,
of the sufferers,
Arti,
Arti
sufferings, Nigraha,
subduing,
Ataha,
therefore,
Enam,
this man,
Vadishyami, I shall kill, Bhuta Druham, revolter against other living beings. Asat tamam, the most wretched. Translation. O chaste one, the king's good name, duration of life, and good rebirth vanish, and all kinds of living beings are terrified by miscreants in his kingdom. It is certainly the prime duty of the king to subdue first the sufferings of those who suffer. Therefore, I must kill this most wretched man, because he is violent against other living beings. When there is some disturbance caused by wild animals in a village or town, the police or others take action to kill them. Similarly, it is the duty of the government to kill at once all bad social elements, such as thieves, dacoits, and murderers. The same punishment is also due to animal killers, because the animals of the state are also the praja. Praja means one who has taken birth in the state. And this includes both men and animals. Any living being who takes birth in the state has the primary right to live under the protection of the king. The jungle animals are also subject to the king, and they also have a right to live. So what to speak of the domestic animals like the cows and bulls? Any living being, if he terrifies other living beings, is a most wretched subject, and the king should at once kill such a disturbing element. As the wild animal is killed when it creates disturbances, similarly any man who unnecessarily kills or terrifies the jungle animals or other animals must be punished at once. By the law of the Supreme Lord, all living beings, in whatever shape they may be, are the sons of the Lord, and no one has any right to kill another animal, unless it is so ordered by the codes of natural law. The tiger can kill a lower animal for his subsistence, but a man cannot kill an animal for his subsistence. That is the law of God, who has created the law that a living being subsists by eating another living being. Thus, the vegetarians are also living by eating other living beings. Therefore, the law is that one should live only by eating specific living beings, as ordered by the law of God. The Ishopanishad directs that one should live by the direction of the Lord and not at one's sweet will. A man can subsist on varieties of grains, fruits, and milk ordained by God. And there is no need of animal food, save and except in particular cases. The allusion to king or executive head, even though sometimes advertised as a great philosopher and learned scholar, will allow slaughterhouses in the state without knowing that torturing poor animals clears the way to hell for such foolish kings or executive heads. The executive head must always be alert to the safety of the projects, because both man and animal, and inquire whether a particular living being is harassed at any place by another living being. The harassing living being must at once be caught and put to death, as shown by Maharaj Pariksit. The people's government or government by the people should not allow killing of innocent animals by the sweet will of foolish government men. They must know the orders of God, as mentioned in the revealed scriptures. Maharaj Pariksit quotes here that according to the codes of God, the irresponsible king or state executive jeopardizes his good name, duration of life, power and strength, and ultimately his progressive march towards a better life and salvation after death. Such foolish men do not even believe in the existence of a next life. Commenting on this particular verse, we have in our presence the statement of a great modern politician. That must have been sometime in the 1960s, early 1960s, Prabhupada wrote this purport. So this great modern politician, I don't know who he's referring to. Anybody know who he is? 1960s in India, no doubt. He just left his body. Recently died and left his will, which discloses his poor fund of knowledge of the codes of God, mentioned by Maharaj Pariksit. The politician was so ignorant of the codes of God that he writes, quote, "I do not believe in any such ceremonies as being Shraddha or some Antyeshti, samskar, and to submit to them even as a matter of form would be hypocrisy and an attempt to delude ourselves and others. I have no religious sentiment in the matter." Contrasting these statements of a great politician in the modern age with those of Maharaj Pariksit, we find a vast difference. Maharaj Pariksit was pious according to the scriptural codes, whereas the modern politician goes by his personal belief and sentiments. Any great man of the material world is, after all, a conditioned soul. He is bound by his hands and feet by the ropes of material nature, and still the foolish conditioned soul thinks of himself as free to act by his whimsical sentiments. The conclusion is that people in the time of Maharaj Pariksit were happy and the animals were given proper protection because the executive head was not whimsical or ignorant of God's law. Foolish, faithless creatures try to avoid the existence of the Lord and proclaim themselves secular at the cost of valuable human life. The human life is especially meant for knowing the science of God. But foolish creatures, especially in this age of Kali, instead of knowing God scientifically, make propaganda against religious belief as well as the existence of God, even though they are always bound by the laws of God, by the symptoms of birth, death, old age, and disease. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Darati Swaparantikam Namastreshtam Anumapi Sachiputra Matrasva Rupam Rupam Tasya Garajam Rupurim Maturinga Stavutim Radha Kundigiri Varamaho Radhika Madhava Asam Prapta Sapatita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tam Nato Vosmi Yasya rastre praja sarva strasyante sarvana asa dubhi tasya martasya nashyanti kirtirayu bhagavati esha ragya paro dhamo yata nama tinigraha atayena varishyami bhurta dhruvam asattamam. O chaste one, the king's good name, duration of life, and good rebirth vanish when all kinds of living beings are terrified by miscreants in his kingdom. It is certainly the prime duty of the king to subdue first the sufferings of those who suffer. Therefore, I must kill this most wretched man because he is violent against other living beings. The first point Srila Prabhupada makes here in the purport is that all living beings are praja. The humans, the animals, the plants, the trees, all the jivas that take birth in the kingdom are dependents on the king, praja, and they have a right to life. Prabhupada interestingly used this word right 3 or 4 times in the purport. That because they took birth on this planet Earth under the king, the rule of the king, they have a right to live under the protection of the king. Just by taking birth, they have a right to the benefits of an enlightened executive head, an enlightened kshatriya, somebody who can free one from fear, free one from suffering, from anxiety caused by other living entities. So this idea of praja is very important. Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Boston in 1973, I think. I have a series of lectures that I've been listening to for the last 6 or 7 months on my laptop, and I just keep flicking through them. But I heard this lecture this morning while I was packing my bags. That was my southerner this morning, packing my suitcases. Not the best southerner, but at least I heard Prabhupada. And when I was listening to Prabhupada, this is a lecture that he gave at a special gathering. Sometimes Prabhupada, and many times here in Melbourne, was invited to speak to specific audiences, and he would be given a topic. Giving a topic to speak on. Anyway, he was invited to speak to this audience in Boston. It was an international student body, like a student housing, I guess, and it was an international group. So Prabhupada, in a very humble way, he thanked the people for inviting him to speak. And he does this many times. He thanked them for inviting him there to his college, to their college, to speak on this topic of internationalism. And he said, actually, we've created nations artificially. We've created nations. And these nations have flags, and they have constitutions, and they have laws, and they have bylaws, and they have leaders, executive heads. But the unenlightened leaders of the nation, they have the interests of their particular subjects, the citizens. They have the interests of their citizens first and foremost in mind. But they fail to understand that all living entities in their nation have the right for protection. All living entities in their nation have the right for the guidance and the inspiration of a leader, not just the human beings in that kingdom, but the animals in the kingdom. And Prabhupada was stressing this point very much, and I'm sure very few of the people that were there in the audience were expecting Prabhupada to speak on this, to expand this notion of praja to all living entities, to all jivas in the kingdom of Boston or America or the world, that all living entities are dependent on the good, on the well-wishing and the guidance and protection of the executive heads and the king. And Prabhupada quoted this verse, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Kari Hasti Suni Chaiva Sopakecha Pandita Samadashina, that somebody who is enlightened, an enlightened king, a Raja Rishi like Purikshit Maharaj, and will see all living entities, will see everyone in the kingdom as equal. Vidya Vinaya Sampane. The Brahmanas, the Brahmani Gavihastini, the cow, the elephant, the cows, the learned person, whoever, they see the jiva, the spirit soul, in the heart of all living entities. And Prabhupada said, this is an expanded state of consciousness. Udharadi. When the intelligence becomes broad, when one becomes broad-minded, we're able to encompass, we're able to expand our appreciation of Krishna's energy everywhere. Not just within our family unit, not just within our friends or our god brothers and our god sisters or in our temple. Sometimes in the old days, we were talking the other day, laughing about some of the things that we used to do in the old days, and the mindset and the mentality that was prevalent or predominant in the old days. And so, when we joined this temple in the 80s, one of the mood was that this temple was the best temple. Of course it's the best temple. But this is the best temple in Australia, say, Australasia, Melbourne Temple. Because we have the mercy of Balabhadra, Gaudiya, and Jagannath. So we're the best temple. And the other temples, they're not good temples. That's the idea. So if you live in the Sydney Temple, and Radha Gopinath, then those devotees, they're not just not good, they're in Maya. I was like, that's how we were thinking. So we were trained like this. If a devotee is in the Sydney temple, because it's not a Melbourne temple, he's not a good person, he's in Maya. And then, what to speak of in Raghunath? As you go further north, it gets more and more. Sydney, more and more, you get more in Maya, and you get. Gets warmer and warmer, and gets more minor, it gets hotter and hotter. And then finally you get to Cairns, and these devotees are completely, you know, we don't even call them devotees. They live in Cairns. So it was a little bit like this, a bit of exaggeration, but we had this us and them mentality. And there was reason for this. We used to go to Govardhan, New Govardhan. Some of you have been to New Govardhan. It's a very beautiful community. And a wonderful community of devotees, no doubt. They're not in Maya. And we used to think they were. So we'd go up there on a bus. Sometimes, we had two times a year we'd go up there. Big bus, come outside in Dank Street, and we'd all pile into this bus, you know, 50, 60 devotees. And it was fun. You know, imagine how long it took to get to New Govardhan from here on a bus. We had to stop over halfway and have fun there in the night time sleep, have prasadam. Of course, everything was prasadam. You know, where are we going to have prasadam at 11 o'clock in the morning? Where are we going to have prasadam at 1 o'clock? Where are we going to have prasadam at 3? It was all mapped out. We'll meet here for prasadam. Meet for prasadam. All the stops were for prasadam. And then, so, we would have kirtan, and it was all fired up, of course. It was very nice. Then we'd get to Mavulamba late at night. Always got there in the night time. Just if we, you know, really rushed, we could have a quick shower. And they had these hoses set up for us. We'd get under the hose, have a shower and race to the temple. And we were living in a group, and we had to go across the valley and up the hill and up to the temple. But we were young and, you know, fired up, like anything. And we would run across there, we just practically fly across to the temple and get into the temple room and pull dandavats in front of Radha Govardhandari, Govanitai and Krishna Balaram. And we had a big, really big kirtan. The first night kirtan was like crazy. The devotees swinging around everywhere, throwing me through the glass doors. And sweating, really hot, sweating like anything. And a couple hundred devotees in quite a small temple room like this size temple. And then after we have a week there, festivals, dramas, Bhakta Prabhu is very, very famous for drama. And Ayodhya Prabhu and different devotees. So we have a lot of entertainment there. And it's Bhavananda Prabhu, usually his Vyasa Puja, the big ceremonies. And then Christmas Marathon, same thing, had the same program. But then at the end of the festival, and everybody's there from all over the yatra, and even New Zealand devotees would come. And so at the end of the festival, nobody wants to go home, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the heavenly planets, Govardhan, so beautiful, and the mountains, Mount Orney, nice hot climate, river running through the property, and close by to the Gold Coast, and all the nice things there. So nobody wants to go back to Melbourne. Especially in the September holiday, it was freezing cold then. It was nice and warm up there. A little sweating up there. I think we're going to go back to Melbourne. And, you know, it's like -3 degrees here. So nobody wants to go back. So the way that we worked it out, the way they got us to come back was convince us, brainwash us, that everybody in there was Maya. Everybody in Govardhan was in Maya, and everybody here was in Krishna consciousness. So they make sure everybody got back on the bus. At the end of the festival, the temple president, Balaram, he's there, and he's ticking everybody. If you don't get on the bus, man, the bus won't go until that bus is full. One time, one girl, she didn't get on the bus. She stayed over. She escaped. Anyway, that's not really the mentality. The mentality is that we're all jivas, that we're all souls, and that we don't necessarily have to make distinction. It's unnecessary and sometimes unhelpful to make this distinction. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it says when we train ourselves to see Krishna everywhere, last night we were reading from Gita, this 6:30, it says, one who sees me everywhere and in everything, this is Krishna consciousness, to see Krishna in everything and in every circumstance, we see Krishna's hand. We train ourselves to be Manmana Bhava Madhbhava. That's the goal of our life, is to train. Prabhupada's referring here to missing the benefit of the human form of life by inflicting pain on others, through committing violence, we're missing the opportunity for ourselves to realize our potential as a human being, our full consciousness, and for others to experience their full capacity of consciousness in the human form of life. So we negate that opportunity, that benefit of taking the human form. So when we train ourselves to see Krishna everywhere, maya stakta manapata yogam yunjam arasaya asamsaya samagama yatagyasya sitashtrum. Krishna is teaching us how to see him in the sun, in the moon, in the water, in the fire, in the air, in the mountain, in the stars, in the fish, everywhere. We can see Krishna everywhere. Then we become fully saturated in Krishna consciousness. And Bhagavatam says, if we get to this level of consciousness, which is my Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, if we get to this level of consciousness, then we'll be able to relate to all living entities. If we can see Krishna everywhere, see Krishna in everything, if we train ourselves to see Krishna everywhere and in everything, then we can properly respect all living entities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, when will that time be mine when I can properly honor all living entities and not commit any more aparads against any jiva, against any living entity? Because then, only then can I chant the holy name in ecstasy. That'll be when we can kirtaniya sarahadi. When we can do continuous kirtan, when we stop offending other jivas, when we stop offending other living entities. And the way to do that is to become fully Krishna conscious, to see Krishna everywhere and in everything. And that training is Panchanga Bhakti. We see Krishna through the Srimad Bhagavatam. We see Krishna through the deity form. Prabhupada says in the purport in the Gajendra Moksha, in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, that by doing deity worship, Gajendra got liberation. Krishna touched him and he got the form of the Lord. And he says, by doing deity worship, we have the opportunity to touch the Lord every day. It's every day touching the Lord. You can put your head at the feet, particularly here. You've got a big Lord, big Gonita. You can easily put your feet in the middle there. And your head, sorry, not your feet, don't put your feet there. Put your head in the middle of his feet and get the mercy of the Lord. So perhaps a daily touching the form of the Lord, then you'll get the form of the Lord. Eventually, by this association, like the red hot iron becomes hot, like takes the quality of fire. So daily touching the form of the Lord, we become transformed from matter to spirit. Daily touching Srimad Bhagavatam, become absorbed by touching the Srimad Bhagavatam, by Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by hearing, by daily taking this medicine, Ashodhi Bhavosha Viskrota Mano Virama, by taking this medicine in the ear to purify the heart, we become free from our bodily concept of life by the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sokano Bhayapaha. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we become free from hankering. Hankering is a quality of the conditioned soul because we feel incompleteness. And Prabhupada said in Nishapanishad that any sense of incompleteness that is experienced by the living entity is due to incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. Because we're lacking our connectedness with Krishna. And so we have to... The only way we can become satisfied is... There's no material means to close the gap, to fill that sense of that emptiness or incompleteness. We can't satisfy that by intoxication or by movies or by rock and roll styles or by football or by cricket. We can't satisfy it by anyone, not even by cricket. We can't fill it. We can't do it. The only thing that will do it is Krishna consciousness, is to become absorbed in Krishna. And then we'll become free from hankering. We won't have any hankering. Or Soka Moha, illusion, will be able to properly distinguish between matter and spirit, Satan, Asat. And fear, the living entity is attached number to a body. We live in fear. We live in fear of death, but we live in fear of other living entities because we've developed this competitive nature. And through that competitive nature, we develop bad qualities of envy and hate toward other living entities that are also struggling with fear, lamentation, and anger. So Bhagavatam will help us to become free from these bad elements. The deity will help us. Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vaishnavas, are our first access point. Satam Prasangam, Anabedi Sambhido. The Vaishnavas, the association of the devotees, will enable us to see Krishna in everything. This is the first point that we have, first point of reference. We anchor ourselves in the Sangha of the devotees, of the Vaishnavas. And there we can't be forgetful, because the devotees are with us. They're there to remind us that Krishna is the Supreme. Srila Prabhupada's purposes, seven purposes of ISKCON, a very beautiful meditation for us. In this third purpose, he says that the purpose for establishing the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is to bring the members of the society closer together. Prabhupada really emphasizes this in two of the seven purposes, that the purpose for the ISKCON movement is to bring members together, closer together in the Sangha, and nearer, closer to Krishna, and nearer, closer to bring them together and nearer to Krishna. So when we come together in this Sangha, we become closer to Krishna automatically, to bring the members closer together and nearer to Krishna, for the purpose of teaching that all living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Godhead, Krishna. That's the third purpose of ISKCON. is to teach that all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, of the Godhead. To see everybody as Krishna, to see everybody connected, the connectedness of Krishna, is what Prabhupada established International Society for. So that we can connect everything with Krishna. Niyabandha Krishna Sambandhe. Not just everything, but everyone. Every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. And then when we see that, when we see every living entity as a part and parcel of Krishna, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas and the Srimad Bhagavatam and the deity and the holy name is our ultimate, the first ashraya we have, the first shelter we have is chanting the holy name and the holy dham, then we're able to properly honor our seniors. It's very important that we give up our enviousness of superiors. By seeing Krishna everywhere, then automatically we become free from enviousness of our superiors. And we're able to relate with our colleagues, our peers, properly. We're able to take the advantage of their association and to become free from competitiveness that arises amongst equals. And free from that. And we become free from the tendency to exploit the juniors, to use them for our benefit, for our means. We become free from that, Bhagavatam says, abusiveness, or the translator says, abusiveness. We become free from that tendency to abuse or to exploit or to manipulate those who are junior to us. So therefore, in order to come to this Madhyama platform, in order to get free from Kanishtha, the Kanishtha mentality says that only the people in my family are good. Only my god brothers are good. This guru's god disciples are not good because they're not my god brothers. Or my temple is good. Or my country is good. Only my country is good. Not, that country is not good because it's not my country. So in order to overcome this mentality of artificial competitiveness, we have to learn to see Krishna in everything. And it's not difficult. Prabhupada said, what is a difficulty? Krishna's everywhere. You look in the sky, you see the sun. It's Krishna. It's not difficult. You get a flower, it's Krishna. Nobody can recreate that flower. Nobody has the capacity to engineer the seed that will create a flower with the scent and the texture and the its seasonal blossom. And it's impossible. We can't create that. So Prabhupada is oftentimes challenging. Where is it difficult? Because people ask me, have you seen Krishna? I say, well, everybody's seen Krishna. All the time they're seeing Krishna. But we're not recognizing that it's Krishna. This is a very long, important purport. Prabhupada made many wonderful points. But that was one point about the prajas. That was the first point. He made many other important points in this purport. But the praja one is important, that we see, we learn to see all living entities have a right to the protection. And therefore we learn to see all living entities equal. Sarvabhutahi teratah. The devotees don't inflict pain on anybody. They do good for everybody. And we do good for everybody just by giving prasadam, by smiling at them, by talking to them. Talking to people is important. If you ignore people, then they won't come back. Well, they'll only come back if they're impersonalists. So we're identifying all the personalists. We want to talk to people. If they don't want to talk to you, then that's something else. But everyone we talk to, we greet them, and surely they want to find out something. Surely they're interested. They came here. They're already qualified leads. This is not cold calling. They already come to the temple. They already came to the restaurant. They already put tilak. They already got a sari on, a dhoti on. Already they're making a sign that they want to be connected, nearer to each other and closer to Krishna. So we take advantage of this. Any quick question or comment? Realization?
When you say we have to see Krishna everywhere and everything, actually we are getting so much from Krishna. All the things we are getting from Krishna, still we are forgetting. So getting, and then forgetting. How ridiculous is the situation. And Krishna is collecting, giving, all the time he's giving everything. And he is also forgetting us. Still we don't know anything.
Yeah, Krishna is amazing. Baba Grahijanadana. He's just seeing something good. We have to learn to become like that. Bumblebee devotees. We're good at being flies, blowflies, as you have here. Blowies. We're good at being glowies. We have to learn to become bumblebees. And see the nectar. It's easy to see the store. See Krishna when we're studying Bhagavatam or we're worshipping the deity or we're hearing class. But how to remember Krishna on the tram, and how to remember Krishna at work, and how to remember Krishna when you're cleaning your child's backside. That's different, right? And in fact, those opportunities that are not directly, obviously directly Krishna, you know, Panchanga Bhakti, that are not directly, they can become more impetus to remember Krishna. They can become, you know, very intense moments of Krishna consciousness. Really, they can become great. Because we're in a situation there where we have to extend ourselves. Sometimes we become complacent when we're right with Krishna. Krishna said to the wise of the Prabhupada Brahman, it's not a tasanikashima, that you don't become Krishna conscious by being next to me. Just by physical proximity, you're not becoming Krishna conscious. They didn't want to go back. Krishna said, we go back home to your husbands. And they said, we can't go back to our husbands. We left them already. They won't accept us now. We came out of the forest to see you. And he said, no, you go back there. They'll accept you. We'll make arrangements that they'll accept you. And then he told them, "You, if you learn to meditate on me, if you learn to do kirtan and hear about me, mai tato baba kirtanat. If you do kirtan and you remember shravanam and dhyana, then you'll become Krishna conscious. So when we're out of the direct shelter or protection, or the shell, the bubble of Krishna consciousness that we create here to nourish and nurture the soul, then Krishna will give a special mercy, manifest in a more powerful way, because we're more dependent on Him. Outside of this environment, we're more dependent on Krishna to remember Krishna. So Queen Kunti is praying that she's outside of this environment all the time. She doesn't want to be in front of the deity all the time. She wants to have more and more problems. She wants to be exposed more and more and more to the suffering so that she can remember Krishna. It takes a long time, you know, a lot of realization to get to that level, but when we extend ourselves for Krishna, when we push into the stretch zone, then Krishna will be supporting us. Through a different way. He won't be there as the cowboy boy in his flute and his stick. Necessarily he could be. But probably not, you know, down at crossroads or something. But he will be there through another devotee, through somebody who comes and just says something out of the blue to you. Like, where did that come from? It was from the super soul. Krishna sent this person to wake you up or to inspire you or something like that. So those are, we become, if while we're in the bubble here of Krishna consciousness, we take opportunity, we take the we capitalize on this opportunity of nurturing the soul and the mind and the intelligence, then we have a good opportunity where we're properly situated to remember Krishna outside of this environment. And this is a training ground. We're training ourselves to take this outside of you and apply it. Okay, we better go because one time I missed a flight in Melbourne. I got my ticket, I went through clear customs, I had everything sorted, and we couldn't get through that final checkpoint. And my wife was really in anxiety and just saying to the people, we have to go, we've got a ticket, our flight's there. And he said, no, the flight will wait for you, just be patient, stay in the queue. The queue was long, you know, about 500 people. And we were getting so much anxiety, and then we got through, we cleared, and we saw the plane take off. We weren't laughing, right? It's like $500 each. And then we saw our luggage on the tarmac. Flame went off and we saw our bags there. They take the bags off. Saw the bag. Anyway, we got another day in Melbourne. No, it's not Auckland. So we better finish. Thank you very much. Grantada Shimar Bhagavatam ki jay. Shri Prabhupada ki jay. Govindam ki jay.